had my attorney reach out to them. We said, hey, we figured this out. We don't want any money. I just want to hand you the research.
Right.
So you can correct your product. Because, hey, I'm not a developer. I'm not building, you know, I do taxes.
Right, right.
90% responded with, nah, not our problem. We don't care.
Really?
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild. Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. I am Kyle, your host, and today's guest is here specifically for tax season. Jana Scott, founder of DeFiTax.us, platform designed to bring clarity and compliance to the complex world of cryptocurrency tax reporting. Before we figure out how you managed to figure all that stuff out, especially in the crypto landscape, how are you doing? Tell us how you kind of got into this business.
Well, right now it is tax season, and I do actually have a tax accounting firm as well. And,
oh, you do?
An international one. And so I'm busy. I run on coffee right now. I have a couple of physician clients, and I asked them if they can make me caffeine IV, and they said only if you want to die.
Right.
And
right.
So here I am, you know, caffeinating the regular way. But otherwise, I'm good. I'm good.
So how long have you been in the crypto space? Has this always been like your area of focus, or have you just kind of gravitated?
No. So I started crypto trading back in 2017.
Oh, you were trading? You
know, yes.
Oh,
yes.
We don't get many tax experts that also traded too. This should be fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've been, you know, I was trading back in 17. So I started back in 17. I was trading, when it was still Litecoin and Ethereum and, you know, when it was a little bit more limited still, Bitcoin, obviously.
Yeah.
So I was trading back in 17. That was around the time I still worked for the government. So I was in public accounting, and then I worked for the government, and I worked in various positions, worked my way up. tax specialist, fiscal analyst, financial consultant, overseeing State Department's financials, filing the Federal Treasury reports, et cetera. And during COVID, I said, I'm good. We're good. And I left. I left the position.
Were you doing anything crypto related for the government when you were working there?
No. That was all within the realm of taxes and and financials, accounting, etc. And so after I left, I said I worked for a few different firms around the country before I said I do not like the way things are working in this world, and the only way for me to change it is to open my own company. So I opened up a tax and accounting firm, and within that, I started working with some clients, multiple clients, but some clients were very big in the crypto trade. And one day they came to me and they said, hey, so how do I report my crypto taxes?
Right.
And I said, so one of the things is, like you see with physicians, like you see with anybody in their respective professional fields, they're very bad at following their own advice.
Oh, really?
So I was horribly, I'm always the one that I file my taxes late every year because I focus on everybody else.
Well, you also know how to file the extensions too. So
Know how to file the extensions, yes. But I always file late. I literally go to my partner and I say, we haven't filed our taxes. She goes, really? Yeah. So, but that also goes towards the, I never even though I'm in taxes, I didn't even consider my own trade to be. I need to do taxes for those. So it just whoof over my head. And so when they asked me, I said, you know what? I have no idea. And so I went down the rabbit hole. I get a little bit obsessive. So I went down the rabbit hole and I signed up for every single product on the market. About 14, not just in the US, but international products.
When you say products, you mean like all of the crypto reporting firms?
Correct. Okay. The crypto software products. And I signed up for all of them. And I had this little wallet that had maybe 300 transactions in it. I had, I have multiple wallets, multiple exchanges I use. There was one that had 300 transactions at that point in time. You know, various trades, various coins, good different variation.
Right.
And so I used that, and I signed up for all the products, and I connected that wallet to every single one. And then I was a little shell-shocked when I realized that every single product gave me a different capital gain, capital loss, and income.
I had a feeling report. That was coming. Yeah.
But it wasn't like, seven of them had the same outcome or close to, and the other seven were off, No, it was
all different.
Let me give you an example of a report I just ran for 23 because I do a lot of research. And I work with universities, and I worked with and we'll get to that. I worked with the IRS. I worked with the SEC back in 23. I started dealing with them. I took that little wallet and I ran a 2023 report. So I kept trading in that wallet, but not because I wanted to trade in that, but because I wanted to have variations and consistently check and use that as my guinea pig.
Okay. So this is like your
my little testing.
Yeah.
Your litmus testing.
Yeah,
exactly. And so, because then I started doing every trade and I kept track of what that trade was, what the outcome was, what was happening in order for me to understand, what these products are doing. And so I pulled a report for 2023 and I used the top two products on the market. Mm-hmm. They're both valued at almost $2 billion, have millions of users, top two products. My attorney says I'm not supposed to use names at this point. So I'm just saying top two products. so I connected that wallet. 2023, pull the report. One of the wallets says, you have capital gains of $26,000 and income of $25,000. I said, okay, it's wrong. Mm-hmm. I know it's wrong, but let's see what the other product says. The other product, exact same thing, no changes made, nothing done, says, I have a loss of $351 and no income.
That is absurdly different.
Yes. I know why.
How? Okay.
I know exactly why. I know why. And so what I did when I first went down this rabbit hole in 21, 22, I said, why is this happening? So I went and I pulled the raw data from each of the products, and then I built an OAuth 2 API connection, and I pulled the raw data from the blockchain. Mm-hmm. And I went down the rabbit hole, and I did manual calculations. I followed the IRS regulations. I called PhD professors from universities that I knew. I did my research. And I sat there for nights, coffee, right?
Coffee, yep.
And I figured out what each and every single product does wrong and what their issues are. And then I figured out how to do it right. In 2023, the SEC got wind of it at the beginning of 23. And I met with about 50 of their division chiefs from the FinUp division and other divisions. And I said, here's my research. And they said, oh, crap. And they said, but we can't do anything about it, unfortunately, because we are not overseeing crypto. So we're not overseeing the financial systems that handle crypto. I'm like, okay. They said, okay, let's get you over to the IRS and a few different congressional committees. I'm like, great. So I met with the IRS. While meeting with the IRS, going over how their processes work, how they're doing their internal audits, because they were still doing the audits back then, back in that day, it became very clear that they're doing it absolutely inaccurate. And they admitted to it on the call we won. They're like, well, we're doing the audits the way you're saying they're, that they shouldn't be done, and your research proved it. So the audits paused, thankfully. Then the IRS came and said, hey, we need to send us a request for information.
So you're saying that your research is what saved everybody from getting audited this past year?
In 23, I stopped the audits. And let me get to 24. In 23, it stopped the audits. So in response, we received a request for information from them. Okay. An official request for information. We gave them an outline of the issues and everything. Then they sent us a request for proposal to give them exactly what needs to be built out for it to actually be done right and not hurt the taxpayers.
Right.
So moving forward, we when I found all the research out, I went to all these products. I emailed them, contacted them, had my attorney reach out to them. We said, hey, we figured this out. We don't want any money. I just want to hand you the research.
Right.
So you can correct your product. Because, hey, I'm not a developer. I'm not building, you know, I do taxes.
Right, right.
90% responded with, nah, not our problem. We don't care.
Really?
Yep. Or flat out blocked us.
I mean, is this just because crypto is just so loosely regulated now that there's, like, I guess there's no incentive to do it correctly, right?
No, there really isn't. So, but then the 10% that we did meet with the CEOs and their tax attorneys, and we asked pointed questions as to, hey, how are you getting these numbers? What are you doing? They couldn't answer. They couldn't answer the questions. And then they turned around and tried to sell us their product. Literally. I'm like, I don't know. I don't want your product. And so
you're literally in a meeting telling them how their product is not working.
Yes.
And they're trying to sell it to you. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was interesting. So yeah. We were introduced by a couple of the congressional committees that we've met with to clean up regulations. We were introduced to the Wall Street Journal, to one of the writers there who was doing some research and put us in contact with some of the other universities that work actually closely with the IRS. And these professors are currently actually peer reviewed my entire research, and they're writing a publication right now. I do have an NDA in place that this cannot go out to the public. It is only for the regulatory committees, because I gave these products an option to fix it, and now I'm not giving them a roadmap. Now, in 2024, the IRS was going to start the audits again. I got a call from the university saying, hey, we used your research to tell them they can't do the audits. I'm like, great, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So audits stopped again.
Okay.
But I did get another call just a couple months ago from them again saying, we need to do something because they're trying to implement 1099 DAs.
What is that?
So, you know, you get a 1099 NEC miscellaneous when you're contract workers, or you get a 1099 B from Charles Schwab if you do stock trading.
Yeah.
So they're wanting to have all the exchanges give out 1099 digital assets, DAs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me break this down for you very easily. Do you think in your wildest dreams that Coinbase and Kraken and Gemini and Robinhood communicate with one another?
No, not at all.
Yes. Okay. So now imagine this. You bought $2,000 worth of Bitcoin on Coinbase, and it grew to $10,000. Yay, you. You say, hey, but I want to trade something, whether it's your MetaMask wallet or whether it's on an exchange like Kraken, let's say Robinhood, because Robinhood already does this. So you're sending it to your Robinhood account. Coinbase doesn't know it's your account, right? It's not a taxable event in theory based on the IRS regulations, because if you send money from one of your checking accounts to your savings account, it's not income to you, your money.
Yeah, I should be able to transfer even shares of like a stock from one account to another account without selling or having
exactly. However, Coinbase doesn't know that this is your Robinhood account. Coinbase says, oh, look, $8,000 gain. That's reported on a 1099 DA to the IRS. But it gets better. Now, Robinhood receives $10,000 and they say, oh, $10,000 of income, because that's what a receipt is. And they say, oh, let's report a 1099 DA. And Coinbase already does it, by the way. Coinbase already reports 1099s. But hey, let's report a 1099 DA with $10,000 worth of income. Now you have a taxable rent of $18,000 on something non-taxable.
Wow.
So now please explain to me how you're going to correct that.
Yeah.
Because the IRS is going to say, this was reported anytime. If you have any correction on a W-2, on a 1099, you have to contact the issuer and get them to correct it. There's no way you're contacting anybody there.
No.
And they're not going to, they're not going to correct it.
And the worst part, too, is that as this regular Joe Schmo retail investor or trader, nobody's going to believe me either when I go to the IRS and say, hey, they screwed up. This isn't right.
Nope. So that's one of the aspects we've built into my product, is to be able to validate this, because we hold the licenses to actually have represent you in front of the IRS. We can actually deal with that on your behalf and correct that, because we have the we can produce a a report that shows the ownership, that proof that when they send you a bill saying, hey, you received this bill, to negate that. So
it sounds like you're almost like integrated on like the blockchain layer, like where you're actually like watching the transactions.
Correct. Yeah. So everything we do. So I actually have, unfortunately, 2,500 wallets. Mm-hmm. I have about 160 exchanges. I have I am personally have them, because the only way for me to get the correct data is to have traded in, dollars. I mean, nothing big. Moved it between all of those. In order for me to get the data, get the raw data, and ensure that the API functions correctly and pulls the right data over. So that's why it's been such a long process, because we have to set all of those up. There's a lot that cannot be set up in the US anymore. So I had to call friends and family in other countries and say, please set up this exchange for me. Trust me, I will not waste. I will not do anything that you shouldn't be done.
Right.
So, so that's been a long journey.
So, all right. Well, first of all, thank you for getting the audits paused for us for at least the last 2 years. That was very nice of you to do. Second of all, hang on. Let's take a step back here, actually. So 1099 is coming out from companies that really don't have any business trying to track any of this, because they don't seem to know any idea what they're doing. What's going to fix that? I mean, it sounds like you've already gone to the government and been like, hey, this is wrong. You've gone to these people and said, hey, this is wrong. What's going to actually get them to change and do things correctly?
We're working on a couple things in the background that again, I'm not privy I can't disclose it right now.
Yep.
We're working on a few things at the, in April, we have a meeting, so we'll see how that goes. But I mean, there's a couple options, right? So the way we've built out the software, I've built out the software because I understand tax, I understand accounting, and I understand the government.
Yeah.
I've built it out in a way that if the government really wants 1099s for crypto, if they really want it, my product can be the filer. Again, we have the licenses to actually be a filer anyways, but we can actually produce correct 1099s, accurate 1099s. So we could file them, which would also consolidate it, which means instead of them getting billions of 1099 DAs from all the exchanges, all of those places, we can file a consolidated 1099.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we could do. I think 1099 shouldn't be filed. I think it's stupid. But if they really want to, they're going to do what they want. But that is an option, right?
Yeah.
To be the consolidated filer. Now, the next issue is the audits are going to start again. So something that, and this is, again, everything I say, you can definitely look up on the internet. So the DOJ, there's on the justice.gov website, there is something called a John Doe letters. So the IRS sent out John Doe letters to all the exchanges, all the products that are requiring KYC, whether it's MoonPay, whether it's exchanges, whatever it is, KYC. So they sent out about 1,000 John Doe letters, and they received responses. And the responses were, tell us what American citizen or national who has a social security number has used your product.
Really?
Yes. It's on the Justice website. Just Google IRS John Doe letters or crypto John Doe letters. And the IRS received responses. The IRS now knows who has touched crypto. So it doesn't matter if you have it on a cold wallet. It doesn't matter if you have it on a ledger or hidden away somewhere, because the IRS also partnered with Chainalysis. Again, look up government contracts. Chainalysis has the largest contract with the IRS. They have contracts with Homeland Security and others as well, but they're helping at tracing crypto.
Yeah.
They know who you are.
Yeah. So, that's the idea that you're going to be able to use this as a vehicle to avoid taxes is not going to be.
No. And so the second concerning part is, and again, you can find it by IRS publications. Last year, the IRS came out with a publication stating very clearly that the crypto audits will replace a third of their budget. Do you know how much their budget was last year?
No.
$2.2 trillion.
Holy cow.
So now this is the problem. The product on the market, again, huge discrepancy. First product with the 25,000 gain and the 24,000 in gain and 25,000 in income, I would completely 100% overpay. It's wrong.
Yeah.
Second product, I would completely underpay. Okay? Those are the two top products.
Those are now. That's just as bad, or if not worse, than overpay.
Yeah, the underpaying is dangerous. Exactly. Yes. The underpayment is dangerous. And now this is the problem. If you get audited, let's say you get audited, or I don't know if you remember the ERC credits that everybody, the employer retention credits, the employee retention credits that went out.
Yeah.
Companies came out and said, we can help you get it. We charge you 25% of what you're getting back. And they filed these. The IRS went and processed them because of COVID and paid them out. Now the IRS is going back saying, hey, those were fraudulent. And those were. A lot of them were.
Yeah.
They asked for money back. Okay. So now let's put it on this. Let's say 50 million audit letters go out. Can you imagine all the people coming out of the woodwork saying, hey, we can help you with the crypto audit?
Oh, God, I know, right?
No, you can't. No, you can't, because what are you going to do? Use any of the products on the market to validate it? The IRS knows they're wrong. The government knows they're wrong. They're going to do their own. But how are you able to validate that the IRS did it right?
That's the real question. Yes.
See, I can. I already done it.
You can.
I had a conversation. And quite frankly, I have no problem. I have no problem when the audits do come up again and the IRS comes out. I have no problem taking the IRS to tax court for every single audit and validating what they've done is either right or wrong. You know, and I work with a lot of tax attorneys and people, you know, there has to be, don't get me wrong. I'm all for paying taxes. I'm not,
yeah, right.
But I'm against paying taxes that you should not be paying. I'm against the penalties and the interest, which is what they will be banking on.
This is the problem. The problem is that you have no standard way of collecting all this information other than what you've put together from the sounds of it. You cannot try to collect a revenue or predict what you're going to collect off of something if you have no clue how you're actually, like, if you can't rely on the data that you're using to try to collect the information to begin with.
No, exactly. And that is the problem. You know, that is the problem is how do we know the IRS is doing it right? Because they didn't when they first started it.
I'm guessing they're not. Yeah.
And I mean, you know, and I think so too, because the only way to get the right data is if you pull it directly from the blockchain. In order to pull it directly from the blockchain, they would have to ask you for your addresses, or they have to get the OAuth 2 for exchanges if it's on the private blockchain.
It's just too much work. I don't see the IRS going through and doing all that.
No, exactly. And I gave them a very detailed outline on how to do it, you know, because they're going to do it no matter what. Might as well get them to do it right. And then one discussion we had was people shouldn't be penalized if they tried to report crypto and use the products on the market that were inaccurate. They should not be penalized or have interest or any of those things because they did what they could with what was available on the market.
Jonna, when you were referring to DeFiTax.us, your company, you said that you have all the licenses and things to be able to file your taxes for us. Does that mean that if it's wrong, then that is on DeFi tax, or is that still on the user?
Well, it's not about. So we're not filing the taxes. So we will give you the So we will give you the report. However, we do have audit protection. Okay. So if you get audited, and the IRS says no, your crypto is wrong, right? Mm-hmm. We say, come at me. I'm going to argue with you. Trust me, I love the arguments. I love the arguments, you know.
A lawyer, you should. Yeah.
I can validate what was said, you know. So we can protect you in an audit and we can validate it. But the other thing is too, you can, let's say you filed in other years and you came to us and now you're being audited. Okay. But you came to us and you have the audit protection.
Mm-hmm.
We can then go and handle the crypto audit for you. Even if it is a year that you didn't use us, we can help you deal with the audit and validate it and say, okay, look, they did it wrong. We can negotiate the penalties and interest, which again, if you filed, I don't think you should have penalties and interest. Okay.
Yeah. If you're, especially when you're doing it voluntarily.
Exactly. And so that's one of the biggest issues, you know, that we will be able to actually help. And we're not charging you $5,000, $6,000, $10,000 to help you through an audit that you're bound to lose, because how is any regular person out there supposed to defend what the IRS comes back with?
Right.
And the IRS already knows us. They already know us. We've thrown a fit. The congressional committees already know us. You know, they have seen our research. And with this article, with this publication coming out now from the universities that is going straight to the congressional committees, you know, they also will have more of a validity because we're pointing out all the issues. So they will understand, you know, and it's been validated, peer reviewed. So they will also see that we've done it right. You have not done it right, you know?
So how much of this mess that we're in right now stems from the fact that crypto just really, like, the last 5 years, it seems like they've been trying to define whether it's a currency, a security, or a commodity, and they still haven't even been able to manage that. Like, have we made any progress on any of this stuff?
Well, ultimately, you know, if they make it a security, you know, or I mean, ultimately, they're all assets. Okay, that's the underlying. There's always an underlying asset. It's an asset, like it is an asset. Okay,
right.
Because it is in, you know, inventory. If it is a commodity, look, if it's a commodity, you have an option. You have 988 contracts or 1256 contracts. So you can do an election, meaning that either everything is taxed as ordinary income, or everything is taxed as 60% long-term gain and 40% short-term gain, okay? Hmm. That's if we go into commodities, okay?
Okay.
Now, if we stay in securities, you know, or just, you know, just a currency, even currency, I don't think it can just be a currency. I don't think that can happen because of the way it functions, okay? You know, if it's a security, it's easy peasy, right? Brokers do it all the time. But the trades obviously happen a lot quicker and with a lot more uncertainty. You know, it will stay the same with capital gains and income. You know, nothing will change. But then you have, you know, commodities. You have the 988 and 1256 contracts that they possibly can let you do an election on. You know, and that's a whole nother story we can go into. Now, yes, okay, Donald Trump, he did say, you know, maybe we'll put tariffs on it. Any of the tokens, you know, instead of capital gains, we'll add tariffs. Or, you know, maybe we shouldn't tax it as capital gains and just ordinary income. And there's some things to it. But one thing that has to be made very clear, you do not go backwards in tax regulation. Okay. So it doesn't matter what happens maybe this year or next year. Backwards, it's still capital gains. Backwards, it's still going to be taxed. That's still going to happen. The IRS made it very clear they're looking at a big payout to replace a third of their budget. Mm-hmm. By doing these, which includes capital gains, ordinary income tax, and penalties and interest. And the penalties and interest are really what's going to hurt people, you know?
God, I know.
History isn't just boring names and dates. It's weird, messy, and full of what-were-they-thinking moments. The Buck Starts Here dives into the financial fiascos, questionable deals, and outright chaos that helped build America, $1 at a time. We mix in serious history from a fresh perspective. Real, deep dives into the numbers and the moments that shape the country without the boring lecture. From presidential blunders to almost states and the time an international war almost started over a pig, we break down the key events that made, and nearly broke, the nation. It's the fascinating untold history you won't find in the textbooks. Subscribe to the Buck Starts Here podcast for a deeper look at presidential history that's anything but dull.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Now, the reason they added that little box in 21 to the tax return that says, did you trade crypto this year? That's in order to get you for tax evasion.
Yeah.
Right? If you don't check that, you officially lied on your return. And if you ever signed a return, read the fine print. Okay? So let's say you checked that box, yes, and you didn't report anything. Not good. Let's say you checked the box, no, and you didn't report anything. I've seen people check the box, no, and report something. I mean, it's just, you know, there's no rhyme or reason to anything. So you know, there's a lot of different things, you know, that the IRS is looking at. And I know we're in a cleanup period right now. We'll see how far it goes. We'll see what happens if anything gets better or worse. You know, ultimately, the IRS is not going anywhere. We need taxes. We have the military to support.
I've talked to some people who seem to be thinking that because of the Doge focus on the IRS, that you don't need to worry about audits anymore. Like, okay, maybe for like the short term, but like
No. It's listen, I'm all, you know, I'm all for cleaning up the IRS. I work with them all the time. Don't get me wrong. But if you look at it rationally, the IRS is not going to go anywhere.
No, okay? Absolutely not.
What we need to figure out is, where do our $6 trillion tax dollars go, right? That's a good question. I would like to know that. But quite frankly, it's not going to go anywhere. We have a military to support. We have, you know, we have a lot of other things to support, you know, especially the congressmen and the women, right? They want to get paid. So it's not going anywhere. I think what's going to happen, audits will still be happening, but everything is going to be slower and more tedious. I think getting answers, if you file an amendment, anything, is still going to be more tedious. But the IRS has a separate crypto division. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, crypto audits will still be happening because it's not auditing a full return, it's auditing a schedule, which is a lot easier and can honestly be done with the system, you know, with you will just get a letter saying, hey, we did a review of your return, meaning the system, hey, you owe us money, right? And then try and fight it, which makes it even harder than having a person to deal with. So I've audited 53 different so-called crypto tax experts, a lot of law firms, a lot of CPA firms, and I paid them and gave them my 300 little transactions, paid them $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, and got back nothing accurate.
Okay. All right.
And one of the places actually is horrible. They just go and use $100 software to run your crypto through.
Jesus.
They actually take it, they ask you for your CSV files, which are completely inaccurate. You have to pull it straight from the blockchain. There's no other way to get the right data. None. And you know, I've been doing this deep dive for like, you know, over 3 years now and pulled the data various different ways. And trust me, CSV file is completely useless. The only product that gives a very good CSV file is Cash App. Cash App is perfect for their Bitcoin. Huh. Very good. Gets you what you need. Yep. Completely, like, nothing missing. Very good.
Not even the one you'd expect to think of when you think of buying Bitcoin. It's not the Cash App I'm thinking of.
Yeah, no, but Cash App does good. And so Robinhood does the worst on their API and their actual CSV file. You know, and so let's get to the products, right? Because this is a question I ask myself a lot. I asked the attorneys, I asked the professors, I asked a lot of people said, how the hell did I figure it out in those multi-billion dollar products I'm doing it wrong? Okay.
Because it doesn't matter if you do it right or wrong, just the fact that you're doing it first, people are signing up.
Yeah. And so, but this is the thing. How are they worth billions of dollars and they still haven't fixed it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And why am I getting this right? Am I doing something wrong? That's why I had it validated by a lot of different other professionals. And I figured it out when I started actually working with developers. Figured out why all these products are not getting it right. They're taking shortcuts because the developers told me, oh, there's an easier way to do this. And I said, okay, show me. And it was wrong because they're skipping a lot of different steps that you do in accounting, that you do in tax, that developers don't know how to integrate into their algorithms.
Oh, so it's something looks like a simplifying program structure, but really you're actually taking out some really important checks that maybe you're making sure that, hey, this wasn't an asset held over here and transferred.
Yes.
Well,
not just that, it's also the algorithms and how they're pulling the data, how they're validating the basis, how there's a lot of little things that are just missing in the algorithms, and some get it right on one part, some get it right on the other part, but nobody has an overall, accuracy. So when I go and I connect things to these products, I always do trial and error. I always say, maybe they're right and I'm wrong, right?
Right.
Because that's the only way to go about it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I second guess myself, and that's okay. That makes me, figure out, ways
to catch mistakes.
Validate it. Yeah. And so there's another issue. So if you ever get audited as a business owner and you say, oh, can I just give you my QuickBooks profit and loss and my QuickBooks data? The IRS will say, hell no.
Right.
Because it is manipulated. It can be manipulated. You can do journal entries. You can change numbers. You can manipulate everything. And that is one of the biggest issues with these products. Even if they were 100% accurate, they would not be allowed in an audit.
Because they're still skipping the receipts.
No, the features.
The features.
We can have another meeting, and I can show you. I can do a screen share off camera, off recording. So, listen. What is the biggest thing about the blockchain? You cannot change something that happened. Okay, these products have you go to your transactions, you click edit. You can delete the entire transaction that you just pulled from the blockchain. To calculate your taxes. But not just that. No. You can change what type of transaction it was. Let's say it was a trade. You can change it to a buy. You can change it to an interest income. You can change it to a mint. You can change it to whatever the heck you want to change it to. Oh no, it gets worse. You can change the date. You can change the time that the transaction was happened. You can change the currency. You can change it from Bitcoin to Ethereum.
You change the dollar amounts?
Yes, you can change the dollar amounts. You can change the value. You can change the fees. You can change every single thing about that transaction.
That's a problem.
That is a very big problem. And that also, because there's people out there who want to commit fraud, right? And that it gives them the tool to do so. Okay. And then they print out official government forms like the Schedule D, the capital gains and loss, they're all on official government statements that people print out and give to their accountant. And say, here you go, I got it, file it.
Yeah. So how does the IRS catch that then? When they're looking at that, what are the flags that are going, how do they know that that field is editable when they're looking at it? Just out of curiosity.
Well, the IRS doesn't care, like the SEC, they don't care about those products on the market, right? Mm-hmm. So from what I've heard from the people at the IRS, and again, this is from people that work with the IRS, is they're going to start at the audits at people 400,000 AGI plus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's where it starts. And they're going to base it on those John Doe letters, right? Because they received those John Doe letters and they base it on those. And so then they're going to work their way down, right? They're going to assume that everybody is inaccurate, which currently they are.
It is. It's not a wrong assumption.
so their assumption is everybody is wrong. Everything you reported is wrong. Now we're doing an audit for you to prove that, you're wrong or you were right or vice versa, whatever it is.
Sounds like a huge headache that's just coming down the road, huh?
It is. It is a very huge headache. And I've been saying this for the last 3.5 years that, yes, no, it's a huge headache. And nobody wanted to fix it. You know, I've tried giving my research away for free. I have the emails, I have the messages. I told them, I said, I don't want money. Just take it and fix it. We don't care. Not a problem. Block. I'm like, okay. So, you know.
The block is the best part.
Yeah. No, they literally.
Really? Why?
Yes. Yes. You know, and these products are being, you know, these top products are being endorsed by Coinbase and MetaMask.
Yeah.
And how can, you know, Coinbase endorses two. One that overstates by tens of thousands of dollars, one that understates by tens of thousands of dollars. Do they not look at those products?
Right.
You know what I mean? And say, why is this so different? But hey, let's endorse both of them, you know?
So tell me about DeFi then. Is DeFi tax up and running, or is that coming out soon?
Yeah, so I could have probably had it up and running already, but I'm picky, very picky with how things work. And so my developers, I think, are sick of me at this point because I want to recheck because, quite frankly, you know, with the statements I make, I can't just go out, you know, I can't go out and then have something that doesn't work.
Yeah, right.
You know, that would be very
hypocritical.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we've double checked and triple checked, and next week we're starting actually beta testing with about 10, 15 people who have various different exchanges and wallets just to get a good review. And so we're hoping, I think, to have the first soft launch in the next 3 weeks.
Okay.
So the software is threefold. It is a trader version for you individual traders, but it also has a bookkeeping version. So for anybody who uses crypto within their business, especially if it's influencers, I know, you know, physicians are starting.
Yeah,
so there's an actual, you know, imagine QuickBooks for crypto that also gives you your regular capital gains reports, but it also gives you a profit and loss, and it gives you a balance sheet that is easily integratable, you know, with your other business activities. And it's not like some of the other products, $25,000 a year. It's very reasonable because I think that was banana.
Yes.
That's one of the products that they wanted to sell me. It's only $25,000 a year. I'm like, nothing.
Jesus.
You know, and so then we have the accountant's version as well. So, you know, where accountants can see their clients and just pull the reports themselves, review it, you know, maybe do their bookkeeping for them and assign things, you know, whatever it is. So we have it threefold. But then we have the lack of features, which is, it's good that we have the lack of features. There's only certain things you can change.
The only thing you really should be able to do is maybe just change a date range that you want to pull the data from, right?
Yes. So we have that. But no, so what we actually have is, there's a couple of things. So for example, if it is a received or a sent transaction, okay?
Mm-hmm,
those are the only two categories you can adjust, meaning you can say this on your individual one. On the business one, obviously, you can adjust it a lot more because it is like bookkeeping, right? Did you pay expenses? What did you, you know? But you can't change the actual characterization, but you can change it. A sent transaction, for example, what is if you donated to a charity? More and more charities accept crypto. You can call it a donation, but you have to add your EIN and you have to add, you know, the details for that company.
Yeah.
Or you can change it for a gift. And then we ask, are you married? Are you single? I'm married. Okay, so this is your, if you gift more than this to this one person, you have to file a 709 gift tax return.
Yep.
Okay, great. Then you can categorize it as a self-transfer, okay? Which is, you know, the issue, hey, you know, and if the thing is, if you connect, let's say you transfer from Coinbase to Robinhood. If you connect both, we automatically identify the self-transfers.
Okay.
Automatically do. However, let's say you forget something. You say, oh yeah, no, I sent this to one of my wallets. And if it's a public blockchain, we say, great. Do you want us to pull that address and integrate it automatically? Or do you want to add the address yourself? Right?
Hmm.
Because otherwise you're not allowed to categorize it as a self-transfer if we do not have the corresponding address and pull the data from there, right?
You have to be able to see where it went in order to
checks and balances, debits and credits has to match. So that's for the self-transfers, the send transactions. And then we have the received, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's normally income. But again, you can say it was, you know, a gift received. It was, you know, which again is non-taxable event until you actually dispose of the crypto. And then again, self-transfer, right? But again, if, you know, we ask again for the matching address.
Yeah.
And then you are able to categorize certain NFTs, because some of the products just will not come over saying it is an NFT. So you will actually have to call it, you know, it's a minted,
okay.
You know,
yeah.
Because minted has to go, and that's what the other products don't really do either, have to go into its own separate category. Because you can't, let's say you have an NFT that's Ethereum based, and let's say you're selling Ethereum, but if you use, let's say you use first in, first out, okay,
mm-hmm.
And you have your NFT Ethereum based, then you bought some Ethereum. Well, for the first in, first out, it would take your NFT. That's why it needs to go into completely separate asset category that is outside of the normal crypto that is being disposed of. So the products don't do that. Second issue, when you sign on, we will request for you to close out every single prior tax year before you start on your current tax year. So let's say you started in 2020 and you sign on now, and you want to pull 2024's reports. We say, no, not so fast.
You got to go all the way back.
You got to go to 2020, and we're making it very simple. You got to go to 2020 and you got to close out 2020. Please pick what accounting methods you want to use and close it out. Because this is the key. Let's say you used HIFO in 2020 and 21 and 22 and 23. And now you want to use FIFO or LIFO, right? Or or specific identification. Let's say you want to use, let's use first in, first out. Okay. You use first in, first out in 2024. All the other products did not dispose of already utilized assets. They recalculate the entire history of your asset. So if you in 2020 used HIFO and you already got rid of the highest ones you owned in 2020, but those are one of the first ones you owned. Now in 24, it will go to the first one that you ever owned in 2020 and recalculate it and reuse it, even though you already disposed of it in 2020.
Gotcha. Okay?
So double dipping.
Yeah.
So that's why it has to be closed out, because backend database will take everything that was disposed of based on your picked accounting methods. And the only time you can reopen those years is for two reasons. And you have to let us know is A, you're being audited and you need to make changes, or B, you forgot to add an address, right? Then we will reopen it, but we will reopen it for every single year and you have to reclose them again. You know, because checks and balances, and we have to make sure that we have the audit proof guarantee there. And we don't have it if we don't follow the simple rules and regulations that are set for by the IRS.
Jenna, that's phenomenal work that you've done there. I cannot wait for this thing to come out. You said that you are currently in your beta test and it'll be looking at release in 3 weeks?
Yeah, about 3 weeks. We have a wait list.
I see the wait list on there. I'm gonna grab that link and I'm gonna stick it in the episode description, because I know that we've got a lot of traders that I know dabble with cryptocurrency in our group, and I'm sure they would love to jump onto this too.
Well, the other key that we have, so there's three things I really like about how we added this. So our reports page, we actually allow you different. So we show you all four different accounting methods. You don't have to toggle between, you don't have to go to your settings and change it.
Oh, that's really nice.
We show you all four different accounting methods, and we show you not just per, we always show you per wallet. We don't show you universal. I think universal is the worst. Anyways, we show you by wallet, but then you can click a little plus button and open up the wallet, and we show you by currency within your wallet.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pick, you can say Bitcoin in my Coinbase, I wanted HIFO. Bitcoin in my Kraken, I would like LIFO. Ethereum and so we let you really customize it because it's allowed. It's allowed.
That's
it's
good.
It's a different asset class. It's completely allowed.
So I want to get rid of the highest cost basis ones off the bat, then I should be able to do that. Yeah.
Well, the goal is to show you, to get you to zero, right? Yeah. As close as possible. Like not a lot of gain, not a lot of losses. HIFO is not always the best one for that, because it gives you the highest losses a lot of times. And you don't want the highest losses. You're capped at 3,000 anyways, at a loss on your tax return. If you have 50,000 of losses, you just get 3,000 of that a year unless you have other gains. So there's no benefit for having a $50,000 loss, right?
Yep.
So, but then we have what if features. Those are my favorite ones. What if? We have like two what if features. And so the first what if feature is actually, so let's say you want to sell crypto, because that's questions I get. You know, people go like, hey, I want to sell some Bitcoin, and what's my damage when I do it? I say, I don't know. I can't look into, you know. So, but what we have is you can now go in there and you can say, I want to sell one Bitcoin. And we tell you, okay, if you sell it out of your Coinbase account, this is your damage. If you sell it out of your Kraken account, this is your damage. If you sell it out of your MetaMask wallet, this is your damage. Or we say, look, why don't you sell half of one out of your Coinbase, half of one out of your MetaMask, and this is the least damage you have. You break right. even as close to possible, you know.
Yeah, and you take half your loss from this one and half your gains from this one, and now it's at zero. And
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we will. That's our one what if feature. The other one is, we say, okay, so far in the year you have $10,000 of gains. You have a bunch of little tokens there that you haven't traded, that you haven't touched, you know, and here's some, because tax loss harvesting that the products have is really not,
Yeah.
And so this way we say, look, you have some of these coins, you have some of these losses. If you just sell, you know, something from this, something out of here, one of those, you can get your $10,000 gain down to $2,000,
right?
Bring you as close as possible. You know, you don't have to do that, but it's an option, you know? So that's something that those are little what if features that we have implemented as well.
I like that. Anything else that you want to point us to? Anything else you want to say before we close things up?
I think I talked a lot and I dropped a lot on you. I think I'm good. I gave you a good overview of of the journey and the frustrations and what, you know, why we put together what we put together. If you have any questions, shoot. But I think I'm good.
I think you should be running over to Boston Blockchain next year. We got to do the podcast for that event last year, and you would fit in perfectly there. That is like the perfect place for you to showcase this platform.
Oh, nice. Yeah. No, 100%. I've been, you know, with all the things I've going on, you know, it's been hard to go anywhere. But hopefully, you know, it'll calm down a little bit after the launch, and especially once tax season is over.
Yes.
I can take a breather. So, right. But I think, you know, definitely next year, that's kind of on our radar to go to a couple of events.
Yeah.
See, I'm not the person, you know, I didn't make anything public. I don't personally really like put stuff on social media. I don't do, you know, I'm very bad about it.
I'm terrible at it too.
Well, I had an argument with my business partner. I'm like, you go on the podcast. She goes, I don't know what's in your brain. I was like, because I told you, I don't want to because I mean, I'm passionate about this. I really am, you know, this is my baby. But I am just so bad at going out there and saying, you know, because it's really hard
to have hubris and then still go out and talk about your great product, right?
Well, and the other thing is too, because I think to myself, I said, why would people believe that I got it right? I'm a nobody in this world. You know what I mean? And these multi-billion-dollar products got it wrong. But that's why I'm pointing out the issue of go connect to multiple products, run one small wallet through it and see the discrepancies. And one of the biggest issues is this. If you used any of these products in previous years, go pull your 22 and 21 and 2020 reports again. Because in 23, they made changes to the algorithms. Your reports are no longer the same.
No kidding. Wow. Yeah.
And they didn't let anybody know. I followed. I searched. I looked. There's no, hey, we made changes. Your 2022 and previous reports are no longer the same.
Man, are any of these companies publicly traded? Because I feel like I want to go start shorting them.
I don't know if they are, honestly.
All right. Well,
yes.
I do think we probably got to a point where we should probably call it for the day. Otherwise,
no, we're good.
I know, we can keep going.
Yeah, we can keep going. Trust me. I know there's so much out there. We can definitely keep going. And, you know, like I said, if you ever want to get cruise through our product and I can show you, we can do a Zoom. I can show you the actual issues that I found, in life.
Why don't we reconvene after tax season when you have some bandwidth again, and then we can try to walk through some of that. So it might be fun to do like a screen share, like you said.
Yeah.
All right. But like I said, that is going to be probably gonna have to call here for the day. So please join me in thanking Jana for joining us today. You can do that by visiting defitax.us if you want to sign up for that wait list. It should be launching in 3 weeks, as she said earlier. We will be back soon with another episode full of new ideas to improve your bottom line. But until that day, like, share, subscribe, all the things, and have a green week.
Thank you so much.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
Produced by China Shop Productions.